1. And we're continuing in a lesson regarding the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman mentioned here in the last chapter of the book of the Proverbs. I'm not interested, again, in selling you a book on womanhood. I believe that more important than all the preaching that Billy Graham has ever preached, more important than any preacher that's ever preached, be it Wycliffe, Savonarola, John Huss, or anybody else, that the words of God are more valuable than any preaching, any illustration, or any message that's ever been given. Amen. We tend to put on pedestals the preachers, the celebrities, the illustrations, the stories. We make a lot to do about opinions, and that's not what we're interested in. If there's a treasure to be found in all of the world, that treasure is to be found in the Bible that you're holding in your lap tonight. I really enjoy teaching the Bible. Preaching is okay, and preaching is necessary. And as I've grown in my Christian life, tried to grow in my Christian life, I realized that just what God said is all we need to do, all we need to look at, read, learn, and do. That's really all that simple. We've tried to make it a whole lot different, find some other kind of a formula, and I think what we've done is we've bypassed what it is we're supposed to be doing, just simply reading and believing this book. We have found over the years, in the various aspects of the ministry that I've been in, as somebody is just being a helper, and then somebody that's had to disciple others and pastor and preside over others, I feel like everybody's always looking for somebody who has something that they can follow that's just kind of a little bit of a twist from what God said. And then they go for that for a little while, and they go through that little spell for 6 months, and then they find somebody else and something else that's new to latch onto and continue with that for a few months until something else comes along. You know, the Bible's the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. And it's always going to be God's Word. It's settled in heaven already. I mean, it is there. It is settled. And I tell you, it's just a blessing to open up this book and just look at the words of God. And I'm telling you this by way of introduction because you don't need everything that's out there in this world to help you be a virtuous woman, or to search and to hunt out what she is made up, or to have the wrong estimation about womanhood or the right estimate. It's all here in this book. It's all right here before our eyes. We can see what it is that God would bless. And it's a great privilege for me to be able to open this up and look at this and say, I've got God's Word on it. God's Word. Who can find a virtuous woman? Verse number 10. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. We did that the first night we started our lesson. And eventually, we're going to get through all of these. Okay? I'm not sure when, but we're going to get through all these things. One of these days, the Lord tarries, and we'll make it. I just want to go back and pick up a few things out of verses 11, 12, and 13 tonight. Now, last week, we talked about verse number 11. We talked about her husband doth safely trust in her. That's a very key thing. It's a very important thing. It's a precept that is critical. It's critical that when you read down verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all days of her life. That is in response to the husband's trusting in her. When the husband can put his trust in the wife, then the wife, verse number 12, will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now there is, and I don't want you to take my word on this, so go back to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to show you just two things in the Bible that are critical for every person in this building to understand and understand it clearly tonight. A couple of things. Now, we look at this woman, and by reading what we're reading in here, these equal rights, women livers, would look at these passages and say, that is not the kind of woman that I want to be. I am going to be on the same level, the same plane, the same plateau. I am not going to be a subservient type of a person to a man. And I say to you that that is not the will of God tonight. The will of God is for every woman's desire. Every woman's desire is to be to a man. I got God's word on it. I know I don't need your amens. And if your old knees is the best you can do, that would be all right. But I'm telling you, for the blessed life of every woman in this building this evening, it is proper to be subservient to your husband. That is proper. And if you look in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 13. Now, we call ourselves Bible believers. That's one thing, it's to say that. It's another thing to believe it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That's called passing the buck. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And there's all kinds of stuff in here, and I don't have time for it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now watch. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Did you get that? Thy sorrow and thy conception. It's not sorrow in conception. Do you understand that? Do you ever wonder, well, I'm going to make some of you mad, but women whine. Occasionally you find a man who whines. But most men don't whine. They got their own problems, right, ladies? Come on. Amen. Okay, thank you. But women whine. And women are, women are more serious than men. Hey, ladies? Okay, thank you. It's okay. It's okay. It's not unscriptural. Say amen. All right, it's okay. And so the Bible says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now, isn't that the way it is? Watch it. He says, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Sorrow goes whether you're having kids or not. But just in case, sorrow will be in there too, with the conception. Then look. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, if you want to define that any other way than what I've already defined it, you can talk to me after the service. That is the proper plan, the proper design for every man and woman in this auditorium tonight. You say, well, I'm not married. That's okay. Men are still going to rule over you. You were still designed to have a desire toward a man. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then, it's between you and God. We are having problems in these areas as we speak in this world. He says, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, just in case, now you know what the man gets in the next verse. Unto Adam he said, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Now every man in here has to understand that you can't listen to your wife about everything. You need to listen to your wife. But you can't listen to your wife about everything as if it was gospel truth. Okay? You have to weigh, and there are times when you've got to listen very carefully to be able to disciple her, meet a need, teach her, explain something, and lay it out. And you won't find a whole lot of men doing that these days. He says, because thou hearken unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I... Is it any wonder why your husband doesn't listen to you, ladies? Is it? Why do wives wonder why their husbands listen sometimes? It's because sometimes the women are listening to the devil more than they ought to. Oh, you'll hear it. And they realize that, and there's no way of getting into it. There's no way of getting into the conversation. No way of bucking in there. How would you like to have a marriage where you talk to your wife like you've just been listening to the devil too long? You know what I'm saying? Like Job's wife, curse God and die. You can't just, you know, I'm not recommending that you go up to your wife and tell her that she's been spending too much time with the devil. But if the devil's going to attack, he's going to do it the same way. We don't learn from history. You remember that phrase? We don't learn from history. We keep repeating history. Today, men want to blame women for all the trouble in the world. And the women, if you women, you'll blame the devil. And what we really need to do is get on our knees and blame ourselves. And so there is the beginning. This is the beginning of time. This is 404 A.D. thereabouts. All right? 6,000 years ago, this was established. Now, you tell me when this is no longer functioning. How many of you ladies have had children? Was there any pain? They say there is. I don't believe it. But did they say there's pain? Is there any pain in that? Did they have to, you know, maybe inject something to alleviate that or get you calmed down? Or I mean, is anything along the... Well, sure there was. Now tell me when that changed. Now if that part's true, why isn't the other part? Okay. And you say, well, I'm talking to a bunch of people who already believe this. Ha, ha, ha. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11. I don't assume anything. Daniel 11. Now this is a lesson. I'm not preaching, you understand? This is just a lesson. Daniel chapter 11. Now we're looking in Daniel chapter 11. Now how many of you know a little bit about what the book of Daniel is all about? Is the book of Daniel contemporary to the book of Genesis? No, it's not. We said when we were teaching the book of Revelation that there was one other book in the Bible in the Old Testament that has much matter pertaining to the same events. And that book is the book of Daniel. So if you look in the book of Daniel, the whole chapter 11 is very lengthy and yet dealing with the Great Tribulation and events bringing in the Antichrist, ushering in his reign, and the end of his reign. So look with me, verse number 30. We'll start there. I've got to get this context in here. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. That is the work of the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation. How many of you know when the tribulation is going to take place? Tribulation. Come on, get with it tonight. How many of you know when the tribulation is going to take place? All right. The Great Tribulation is future. It's future. All right. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. If you want to know what flattery is, you listen to Clinton and Bush and Gore and Quayle. You listen to those people and you'll know what flattery is. And they say flattery will get you nowhere. It'll get you to the presidency of the United States. He says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That, of course, is the Jew. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. The same time that Moses and Elijah are on this earth again. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. That word hoping means help. They will be helped with a little help. All right? But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now watch. And the king shall do according to his will. Who's the king? King is the Antichrist. He will be the king in the tribulation. All right? Just so you know, I don't want you to get confused on what I'm saying. The king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself. Now, doesn't that sound like the devil in the tribulation? Isn't that what he said he was going to do in 2 Thessalonians? All right? Boy, I'm making a lot of kids mad tonight. Watch it. And magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now, that can't be, Jesus can't be the king, can he? Okay? Always watch the context. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. I'm glad you're crying for mommy. 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Then there has to be, the Antichrist, we say, is a Syrian Jew. He's from Syria and he's Jewish. If he's not going to regard his fathers, who would his fathers be? This is a lesson tonight, okay? Thinking cap time. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, lesson in Daniel as well as on women. Why do you say women? Because I'm going to take you from the beginning unto the end. And I'm going to show you what the devil's plan is for every woman in here. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Did you notice in that middle of that passage where it says, nor the desire of women? Do you know what the desire of women is? It's what I showed you in Genesis chapter 3. It's what God determined her desire to be. What's her desire? Her desire is her husband. Isn't that simple? The desire is her husband. So, since you and I have been on this earth, we have seen the desire of the Antichrist in promoting the woman so that a man now is supposed to have the desire her way. In other words, yes, Mary, what would you like me to do? You see what I'm saying? And so today in our society, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems that happen in our hearts, and because of what society's doing, our churches are having the same problem. We are trying to make the women happy. You say, what's wrong with that? We're not doing it right. We are going to make women happy by ordaining them. We're going to give them positions like every other man. You can't do that. It's not scriptural. The Catholic Church is going to give more power to the nuns. Have you noticed that Barbara Bush and Hillary Clinton are right there with their husbands? When you read about one, you read about the other. Why? Because they want the vote of the woman. They want that professional woman. They want that woman whose desire is to be a man and to rule like a man. And that's not right. Now, you're not going to hear this on the radio tomorrow morning. You're not going to read this in the newspaper. It's God's Word. And if you're looking for God's blessing and you're looking for God's blessing on your home, then you young ladies are going to have to grow up and find a man that you can put all of your desire into. And you men got to be a man that a woman can do that to, and you can be trusted in taking care of her. And it's not too late. If some of you, well, I wasn't raised this way, and I had these problems, and if I'd known what you're telling me tonight, I'd have married somebody else. No, it's not too late to change. It's not too late to get back to some Bible and get in there and get your life straightened out. It's not too late. I got saved when I was 20, 21. I already had a bunch of hang-ups. I had more hang-ups you just keep fighting them and fighting them and fighting them. But I'm going to fight them. I'm going to give in to them. My wife and I got saved. She was saved a little bit before me. I got saved. Man, we got married. We didn't know what we was getting into. We didn't go through any counselor of any kind. I didn't know all what the Bible said about marriage. I still know. You know, all the little things. You get in there and find, wow, it's one of the nights, huh? Do you suppose the devil may be alive and real tonight? Do you suppose he'd like to hinder something being said here tonight? So the desire, now I know this is tough stuff tonight because you've been prone and educated, and we hear from morning, noon, and night, women, 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 give the women this, give the women that, give the women this. Look, God's not down on women, neither's the preacher. That's not it. It says there's a certain order in this universe when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the relationship, when it comes to training children, when it comes to husbands and wives, when it comes to servants and masters. There are certain orders that God blesses. And that's what I'm interested in you getting. So today, the thing that I'm going to say to you, and if you get mad, don't get mad at me. For every married woman in this building, there is going to be one person who is number one. And that's the husband. You say, you mean Jesus Christ just took... No, you know better than that. You know better than that. But when God put in His book what is her first and of utmost importance and what her desire is, He said it's the husband. He said it's the husband. Look at it. Proverbs 31. So all of your days, ladies, all of your days. This has been going on for a long time, and I know the temptations in society go this way. A young girl comes up and she wants money, and so because society being what it is, and because even in the wickedness of society that many men will hire attractive, I'll tell you what, any Bible-believing young girl in this building tonight is going to be tempted by men in society that will elevate you and pamper you and treat you maybe like your husband wouldn't treat you. Because he's got a lot of motives that are dirty. And so a young girl comes up and she goes, gets her a job. And she starts making $20,000, $30,000 a year in that job. And then she's going to get married. And because men and because of the economy we're in, for a man to make $20,000 or $30,000 himself, which you know you understand that's just just figures that we're throwing out here, he makes the same kind of money. Now, if they're both bringing home the bacon on the same level, who's going to have the say in the home? So the man gets laid off. The wife is making $20,000 to $30,000 a year. And the man's not working. Now who's going to have a say over what goes on in the home? You know who's going to have a say what goes on in that home. All right, so the husband says, all right, we're going to do this the Bible way. Quit your job. He tells quit your job. She quits the job. Well, after the fight, she quits the job. I mean, eventually, she quits the job. And there's a thing going. There's a thing there that you cannot hardly overcome, and that is the liberty that woman wants to make it on her own, to be her own person, and to be her own boss, and to rule over her own finances. And all. She does not want a husband in this society. I'm talking about you know, your church preachers are so wonderful and fine in the will of God all the time that it really doesn't pertain to you. But in society, that man cannot tell her what to do because she's already been in a position where she's telling others or making her own living and has her own liberty. And you're going to take her liberty away by having her submit to you? It doesn't work. Why do divorces, every other marriage fail in divorce? Most of the time it's money. And if you were to take what we're reading tonight and that thing about desire and those verses over in Ephesians chapter 5, if you lay those out before an unsaved person, there ain't no way in the world they're going to accept you. No way. But your acceptance in God's sight is based simply on the husband rules and the wife submits.
The wife desires to the husband. The husband's number one. Now, you guys, you understand what a responsibility that is? You know, this isn't, your wife's not coming over here and she's going to, give one of them. That's not it. I think they do that in Oriental countries. Don't they? I think in Oriental countries, some of the stuff they do. Now, that seems, laugh, man. They laugh. That's, pretty funny. But there's something to that. There's something to that. And so, we don't know. We've been so polluted by society. And we are so young, We don't see it the way God sees things. Look with me in verse number 13. Verse 13. Now you don't need to argue with me because I really do know what I'm talking about. That thing says in verse 12, and then we'll go to 13. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know what you ladies are supposed to be doing? Till death do you part? Trying to be a plus or a pleasing person to your husband all the days of your life. All the days of your life. You know, that really sounds... God sure is mean. Isn't God mean? And you looking at me thinking, the preacher's mean. The preacher isn't mean. That's why I keep going back here and reading it. All the days. But you understand as well that when we talk about this virtuous woman, we're not throwing out what a man's responsibility is. You've got a tremendous responsibility, sir. Number one, can she trust you? Can she trust you? Why should she do you any good? Who do you think you are? You know anything about the grace of God? You know anything about the love of God? A man that's married in here is supposed to love his wife like how? Like Christ loved the church? Boy, we got some tough verses we're thinking about here tonight. I haven't loved my wife like Christ loved the church. I haven't done that. And I think if my wife would be honest, and I'm sure that she would be, she's fallen short. Amen? Okay, since we have, now what? How about grace? How about grace? How about after the, after you have a fight over all of your selfishness, when you argue and fight and all those little selfish, petty arguments that you have? How about growing from some of that? How about growing? How about growing up? How about looking over this past week and some of the stupid things that you said or done to your wife or to your husband? How about growing up? How about maturing a little bit? We got things all out of whack. All the days of her life. Now, I'll give you one more verse and we'll be done tonight. Verse number 13. It says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, a perfect illustration of that is a personal illustration. I go out and start the mower and she pushes it. All right. I'm just kidding. No. You know it's crazy. It's crazy. You go down the road and you see these ladies, these ladies in their Levi's, and their blue flannel shirts or whatever they got on, or their t-shirts, with the t-shirts with the little pockets, on the side, and these girls, their ponytails are all back and they're riding on top of a bulldozer. That's crazy. Just crazy stuff. And riding shotgun on a garbage truck. Crazy. I see them little girls when I was at UPS. I seen them girls wear the browns, like we all wore the brown suits, and those girls trying to lift up packages, 50-pound boxes, all day long. They're going to lift 50-pound boxes and take them here and take them there and pick them up and put them on the shelf and bend over and pick them up.
There ain't no way in the world they can make it. You know what they did with those young ladies that came in there to try to be that? They made them supervisors because they couldn't handle the work. You say you see them all the time. Yeah, you see them in little trucks with light boxes so that the government can't put their thumb on UPS. I know all about it. Just make a supervisor out of them. What's the idea, Preet? Well, they're supposed to work with their hands, but look, you men, you know that they can only do so much. My wife cannot start the mower, so I have to go out and start it for her. She can push it. I know she's not laughing. Because it's true. There are some things a woman cannot do physically. But I'm not going to let you ladies off the hook. There are some things that you can do that you're supposed to do with your hands, and it's called work. You say, well, we work. Well, I'm just telling you, that's the will of God to work. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Okay, wool and flax. Cloths and those type of things is part of woman's work. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. We mentioned this verse in a previous message, so I won't belabor it. But I'll just give you a few verses and we'll be done with this lesson tonight. She's to work willingly with her hands. Not forced now. Not forced. She should not have, husband shouldn't have to crack the whip. Shouldn't have to get all over and shouldn't have to complain and all that kind of stuff. She ought to just be willing to work with her hands. And the idea, of course, is idleness. If there's one thing, they say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And I believe there's part truth to that. I realize that might be an old wise fable. Well, there's part truth to that. Idleness is no good. I've seen, the illustration is, some soap opera loving young woman or married woman sitting at home watching soap operas, eating her chocolates all day. You know that goes on. That stuff goes on all the time. I mean, you get these heavy Helens, and I hope I don't offend anybody. But you get these heavy, exercise is good. The Bible says it profiteth little. Mowing the yard, ladies, is not out of the will of God. Taking the garbage cans out, that's not out of the will of God. Running the sweeper is tremendous exercise. That's good. You see people going down the street. I saw somebody the other day in a park with heavy hands. Walking with heavy hands, dumbbells in their arms, they're... Well, running the sweepers, kind of. That's good exercise. Tone up those upper. Ladies get this flab underneath their arms. They put their arm. Work them triceps. It's okay. Work them. I'm going to enjoy this. You're not. We got a bunch of heavy Helens because they sit around and expect the old man to do everything. Boot them. Yeah, will of God is to boot them. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse number 13. This is about those younger widows. It says there, we better start at verse 11. The younger widows refuse, for when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. I don't have time for that. Let me explain all that to you. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. One of the worst things that ever happened is women allowed to drive. They learned to be idle. They know how to put it in drive now, though. Wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Watch, for some are already turned aside after Satan. You know who that is? A woman's liver. A woman's liver who doesn't know what she was created for. A woman who doesn't know her, who her first desire is to be to. A woman who doesn't want to guide the house. A woman that doesn't want to submit to the husband, who doesn't want to take care of that husband all the days of her life till death do them part. That's who it is. You say, preacher, when are you going to give us a series on men? I'll do it right after this if you'd like. Do it right after this. Because every man in here could use that as well. Idleness. Idleness. We got so many women who are idle. One of the reasons why our church has had friction over the year or whatever it's been is because there's a bunch of idle women. Boy, they ain't got an idle mouth. They just go a mile a minute. And they don't know what they're talking about. And of all the idleness and all of this busybody gossip stuff that's going on, you know what happened? A bunch of men got in line behind their women and said, is that right? Is that so? You don't mean he... And they started believing what they had to say. And before long, they're out for the preacher. They're out for the sheep. They're out for the church. Where'd that come from? The devil. Old Saint Nick. Of course, your mouth never got you in trouble, did it? Not idle. Not idle. I said, and I'll repeat this because it's just been weighing on my heart. If you're a husband and you're trying to be a good one, and a father and you're trying to be a good one, and you're running a business or you're in a business as an employee and you're trying to be a good worker and you're trying to be a good Christian, praying, reading your Bible. I'm not going to put a regimen to you. I'm just telling you, just reading your Bible, you come into church, you're going to be faithful. You have got all you need to do. You got all you need to do. You say, where's fellowship fit in? Well, it can fit in. It's here tonight. It'll fit in. It's just not number one. Number one for you ladies is your husband. And if I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church, she's up there. She's up there. The best thing for insomnia and sleep disorders is go to work. Go to work. How could somebody ever go to bed if all they're doing is sitting around eating chocolate watching soap operas? They're in this, you know, just laying there, man. The body's supposed to be used. And then you try to go to bed, you got all that trash going through your mind. And you got all that trash going through your body. And then you're going to sleep? You ain't done anything worthy of sleep. You have to earn it. Man, I'd like to get out there and just go at it. Just go at it. And you would put your, you know what a great thing to just put your head down when it's time to go to bed and just kind of put your head down that pillow and get in whatever position it is you like. Get in there and the arms are right in the right place. And before you know it, you're out. There ain't nothing like it. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You sit there and you toss and you turn and you're wrestling and fighting and kicking and scratching and going all through. Why can't I sleep? I need more pills. Give me more drugs, you know. And you're all coming in nuts. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. It falls apart. The last reference is in Proverbs chapter 24. What, ladies, you ought to be willing to do just about anything. Now, my wife has to come over with her. There are jars, you know, where I get to show my masculinity. She brings a jar over, or maybe a cola or something like that. And she brings it over because she can't. She puts her hand around that thing, and she'll twist and she'll turn. I mean, sometimes it gets so rough. You know them bags? Did you ever get one of them bags, like a cereal bag, where they've sealed it? And you're holding the... Get scissors. Nah. That ain't the man's way to do it, brother. You grab both sides of that bag on that inside, and you know, you figure you're going to put this nice, neat little opening. You know, you want to keep it fresh, so you just put this like 2 to 3 inch opening, depending on the size of the cereal. And so you're working that in, and you're trying to get it open just enough, get out what you want, seal it up on the end, throw it back in a box, you know, and you're good, and that'll last a good week or so. And you'll be playing around with that thing, and you think you'll have it, and then you start to, and you give that little tug, and nothing's happened. So you go to the other side, turn the box around, grab the other end, and you start trying to open that other softly, you know. They made this so, you know, we can have it in just the condition we want it. And you get in there, and you start playing with it. And, I mean, you get aggravated. You know, pretzels are like this sometimes, and potato chips get like that. And so you grab both sides of that bag, and you say, let me have it. And you pull, and the bag just starts to stretch. And the bag stretches. And you got your fingerprints in the bag, and you're... And a bag still just as taut as it's ever been. And then you go get the scissors. Bite it. There's another one. And you rip it right off. Jan will bring over some cola or something like that, and she'll take her hand and she'll try to wrench it. And I come, she gives it to me, and I take my, you know, I make a big issue out of this because, after all, I am a man. And I take my little fingers and I get on top there and I, you know, start to put a little torque to it. And I start to torque it. Every once in a while, you know, when them boogers comes along, and you have to make your face look like, now look, if you're, don't get on your wife. She needs somebody like, you know, like Goliath, like you know. She needs somebody like Samson. She needs some of you know, muscle-bound guys to help her out of her little difficulties at times. There's some things she won't be able to do. You start the mower before you go to work. At least once. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. An armed man is a robber. Ladies, in chapter 31, verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly. That does rule out complaining about household chores. The house that you are to guide, the house that you are going to labor in, the husband in which your desires to be, it will take work to keep it up. I know I've got some ladies in here that know all about what we're saying. But you know, ladies, I stand here and I say for the 10 years I've been in the ministry, and I've seen this longer than that even, that so few ladies volunteer when it comes to some of the fellowship cleanups and some of the fellowship activities, that there's always a handful of women who just, they're like Martha. They're cumbered about with much serving. They're just completely, they just get in and they take something and they work and they work and they work. And there's some ladies who just sit back and they just watch these other ladies work. It happens in church. You know, that's a testimony of probably what your house is like. You just want to let things, you know, somebody else can do it, let them. That's not right. That's right. It's not the right attitude for a man.
just let everybody else kind of wait on you and serve you and expect, they'll make all these expectations of others and expect nothing of yourself. It's not right. And so some of the instructions that are given here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit are to help our homes, to help our character, to help our lives. And the best thing you young men that are, might be looking for a wife, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. If you can find a woman that will desire to put you first all the days of her life, you have a jewel. Her price is far above rubies. Where are you going to find one of them? You best hang around a Bible-believing church. You best hang around a church where some other preacher, maybe in another church, or a preacher like this one, get up and tell you what a good woman is and what a good man is. And let God work on our hearts. Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious Bible. We again thank you, Lord, for the instructions and the things given here. Lord, I've applied many of things that you've written, Lord, to my life. And I'm ashamed to say how many things I've relegated, Lord, to some trash bin someplace, Lord, not accepting your will. But, Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the instructions, the directions, the statutes that you've given. Lord, these things for our benefit, I'm thankful, Lord, for them. Lord, as I pass them on to these tonight, we pray, Father, that these men might take a hold of your truth, these ladies might take a hold, these single young men and young women who may be looking and searching and one day desiring the things that we're speaking about. Lord, a good, godly home. I pray, Father, that these lessons would be very, very important to them. Help them, Lord, not to run contrary to your will, for certainly they will reap what they sow. Lord, bless and bless each and every home that's represented here. Lord, it's not too late to change. I pray, God, that you might change some of the inner men within each of us, Lord, and our desires in pleasing thee tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll let you go tonight. If you want to stick around for volleyball, the net's up. Help yourself. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.